TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop, we've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
It's the Panthers Insider Show. I'm Pat Bostic, and it is football season. It is week zero. College football officially underway today at noon in the Aer Lingus College Football Classic. At Aviva Stadium in Dublin, Ireland, Kansas State, preseason number 17 in the polls, will take on Iowa State, preseason number 22, so a ranked clash in Dublin. That is at noon on ESPN. And the full slate of college football games for this Saturday, this weekend, we got Idaho State at UNLV at 4, Fresno State at Kansas at 6:30, Sam Houston at Western Kentucky at 7, Stanford visits Hawaii in Honolulu at 7:30. And then we got games on Thursday next week. We got games all the way through. College football is officially here. Pitt gets underway on Saturday at Acrisure Stadium against the Duquesne Dukes for the first time in 8 decades plus. They had their kickoff luncheon yesterday. Doran Dickerson of the Fan Morning Show was outstanding. Huge shout out to Doran for just killing it as the keynote speaker at the event. Going to get into that a little bit more as we move forward. Pitt selects their captains at that luncheon, makes it public, I should say. They select the captains earlier in the week by team vote, but named their captains yesterday in front of a capacity crowd at Acrisure Stadium in the UPMC East Club. Shout out to everyone at Pitt for putting that event on. It was great. The remarks were poignant. They were meaningful. The seniors all introduced themselves, and then the captains are named. We'll get into that here in a minute. Pitt volleyball also played last night. Took the L against Nebraska, the preseason number one team. Pitt is number three in most preseason polls. Lost 3-1. Battled late. Got down 2-0. They've made the reverse sweep pretty popular, but they weren't able to pull it off. Won the third set 25-20 and then fell 25-23 in the fourth set to lose. They'll take on Florida, which is another returning tournament team, NC2A tournament team that Pitt played, I believe, in the Sweet 16 last year. If it wasn't Sweet 16, it might have been Elite Eight. They'll play them tomorrow. And this is all in Lincoln. So it's a home match for the Cornhuskers in that game. And they are elite. They're very good. Took the coach from Louisville, who's excellent. Obviously, Louisville beat Pitt in the Final Four last year. Pitt's been to 3 consecutive Final Fours. But it's early season, so I would advise you not to panic. Pitt won a lot of huge matches early last season, beat Penn State, the eventual national champion, last year. This is still team development. And as I have chronicled throughout this offseason for Pitt volleyball, which has been one with great anticipation, Pitt is not exactly coming out of the gates with a cupcake schedule. They are absolutely, they have murderer's row to start their season, including their first match being against the number one team in the country at Pinnacle Bank Arena in Lincoln, Nebraska, in the Nebraska Cornhuskers. They'll take on Florida. That's tomorrow, August 24th at 1 o'clock. And then they head to Pittsburgh, which is next weekend, for the State Farm Showcase at PPG Paints Arena to take on TCU and Arizona State. And then they'll take on Pepperdine in Jacksonville as they get things going at home before heading to Fort Worth, Texas in the Shriners Children's Showdown at the Net with Kentucky and otherwise. So this is a packed schedule, obviously very top-heavy with Nebraska to start. So all is not lost. ACC play is still out there. This team is still coming together. Some new parts, obviously. Obviously some parts that are back in Olivia Babcock and Bree Kelly. But a big match tomorrow at Florida to bounce back and get this season, get in the win column for this season. Couple news and notes I want to hit here before we get into training camp talk. And Pitt broke camp yesterday at the kickoff luncheon, as I mentioned. But some things that are kind of around in college football that I wanted to touch base on this morning. And also want to plug that at 8:20, we'll be joined by Dave Finoli, a great Pittsburgh author, is going to join the show. And Chronicle will talk about his new book, Uninvited, the 1963 Pitt Panthers, the famous No Bowl team. His book's available on Amazon. Again, that's Uninvited, the 1963 Pitt Panthers. Talk about that crazy season and what happened. Dave's written a number of Pittsburgh sports history books. This is just another one to add to the list. The great Ernie Borghetti graces the cover of that book. We'll talk to Dave at 8:20. We've got Joel Nelson behind the glass, who's a college football fan. Joel, did you see this Auburn news this week, what the Auburn Tigers are doing?
I don't believe so, Pat.
You don't. So they're now claiming 9 national championships at Auburn. And they are adding 4 national championships to their list that were previously unclaimed. 1910, they were 6-1. Now, why do I bring this up on a Pitt show? A, I think it's ridiculous, weeks before the season starts, to just make this declaration and go out and claim these national championships. Also, Pitt was 9-0 in 1910, and it is an unclaimed national championship for Pitt. They also have undefeated seasons in 1904 and in 1920 that they don't have national championships claimed. They have 8 unclaimed national championships at Pitt. No one's rushing to the podium here to claim national championships. So it's a bit egregious, in my opinion. It's a bit disingenuous. Like, if you're going to do this in February or something, it seems like you're trying to take the eye off the ball a little bit. Like, are you not going to be that good? You just want to hype everybody up with these national championships? So I just thought it was absolutely hilarious that Auburn is going to retroactively claim these national championships. And it's pretty rich. It's also ironic because Pitt has, of the 8 or so that are unclaimed, and there are other schools that have unclaimed national championships, Pitt's not the only one in this category. Pitt has 9 national championships. And when you go back in time and you look at the wire services and how those rankings were detailed, back then college football made a lot more sense, quite frankly. Games and conferences were much more regional. Most schools were independent in nature, and you didn't play, there wasn't a lot of crossover schedules. You played who was pretty close to you. You were busing and so on and so forth to get to games. Obviously, as things have grown and travel has become easier, these kind of cross-country trips and widespread conference alignment, whatever you want to call it, have made for a more common schedule when it comes to the strength of schedule analysis and so forth. But Pitt could be up there with the tops in terms of national championships by virtue of just putting a release out that says you claim them. So I had to get that off my chest today. It's nothing really. I have no bone to pick with Auburn. I don't know much about their people, their place. But again, I just think the timing is a little bit odd. So back to business here. Pitt football 2025 season is 7 days away. Want to hear from you, 412-928-9370. We're going to open up the phone lines. It is going to be a beautiful week in Pittsburgh. An absolutely beautiful week for football, high school football. Tyler Boyd Stadium opened up the past couple days. The Clareton Bears taken to Tyler Boyd Stadium. Kudos to him, man, for giving back to his school and redoing that stadium, and it looks beautiful. Cut the ribbon, I think, on Wednesday or Thursday. Doing awesome stuff in the community. But you look at this 10-day forecast, and Fan Weather is brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Today, high of 85, sunshine and clouds, a stray shower or thunderstorm possible. High near 85 tonight, 66 cloudy, slight chance of a rain shower. Tomorrow, 82, partly cloudy. Monday, Joel, this is where we get cooking. Monday, and I'm just going to read low temperatures. 54 degrees low, 50 degrees on Tuesday. Wednesday, 49 degrees. Little bite in the air in the morning when you step out, you have your coffee, you're days away from your team getting started with college football. Pitt taking on Duquesne is the one I'm most concerned with. I got my Pitt flag up. You know, you start to, my wife got the fall like Yankee plug-ins, you know, like the apple cinnamon and the pumpkin spice. I mean, it's just like we are here, man. But it is going to be beautiful. Next Saturday, I don't want to get too ahead of my skis here. 77 degrees is the high, 52 low, partly cloudy, 7% chance of rain. Rib Fest, it's football. And Pitt football had their kickoff luncheon yesterday. And it was awesome. Remarks from Chancellor Joan Gable, Alan Green, director of athletics, actually flew in because he's dropping his daughter off at school at Notre Dame, where she's going to college. And it came back to be there for the event. Each senior introduces themselves, and the captains are named. That's the news of the day. This is the final checkpoint, right, in team preparation and season preparation. Pitt names its captains for 2025. And I'm going to start on offense. I'm going to start with Jake Overman, second-year tight end from Oregon State, also a second-year player, Lyndon Cooper, both starting for the Panthers, both leaders on that side of the football. A lot of the names that you hear and will hear from and see and read about this year will be younger players, including Eli Holstein, the quarterback. But these two fly a little bit under the radar, but are steady, are solid, have played a ton of football, both transferred in last year, both earned the respect of their teammates to be captains, elected captains in 2025. One guy that flies nowhere under the radar, Desmond Reed, who's named a captain as well. So three from the offensive side of the ball. And on the defensive side of the ball, I'm really happy for Javon McIntyre. A fifth-year safety. He's one of six players, I think, left on this roster that won an ACC championship in 2021. That's left, so he knows how it's done. He can play both safety spots, played a ton of football for the University of Pittsburgh. First five captain groups since 2013. Only underclassmen, no surprise here, Kyle Lewis. Kind of the heartbeat, I think, really, of that defense and probably this football team. And his leadership has taken just a huge step. So congratulations to Lyndon, to Javon, to Kyle, to Dez, and to Jake Overman for being elected by their peers as captains for this team. Every team has great leadership. Good teams have great leadership. And these five men will be leaned on heavily by Pat Narduzzi and his staff to go ahead and lead this team to a successful year in 2025 starting next Saturday. So next on the show, we're going to go to break here shortly. Dave Fanoli wrote a book about the famous No Bowl team. The 1963 Pitt Panthers were 9-1. But did not get invited to a bowl game. How did that happen? You may be yelling at your radio dial right now saying, I know. Let's let Dave tell us about it. Let's start from the beginning. And that team, I always say I'm fortunate in my role to meet a lot of great people that wore the colors at Pitt. If you were to look at the career accomplishments, I'm not talking about football. I'm talking about life, business, medicine, dentistry, whatever it may be, you'd be hard-pressed to find a collection of more successful men than those that were not invited to a bowl game in 1963 due to some unprecedented extenuating circumstances. Dave Fanoli joins the show next. Phone lines, fill them up, 412-928-9370. Camp's done. What questions do you have? What's this team going to look like? Predictions? You have them? I have them? Let's talk. It's Panthers Insider Show on 93.7 The Fan.
Holiday PSA from DSW. this is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Welcome back to the Panther Insider Show. Pat Bostick along for the ride today. Going to head out to the fan hotline. Very privileged and excited to have the great Dave Finoli on the show, a Pittsburgh sports historian, a accomplished author with a huge collection of books, The Church Pews, History of Golf Premier Events in Western Pennsylvania, which came out in advance of the U.S. Open, all-time all-stars for the Pittsburgh Pirates, the best players at each position. Just awesome stuff from Dave Finoli. His latest, we're going to discuss today, The Uninvited, the 1963 Pitt Panthers. Dave, good morning. Thanks for making time for us.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I got this connection, made a connection. I'm very familiar with your work. It's all over the place. But the great E.J. Borghetti connected us via email, and I'm thankful that he did because his father played for the 1963 Pitt Panthers. In fact, he is on the cover of your book, I believe, and looking quite handsome in doing so. First of all, what's the impetus to write books like these, because you've done so many? Where does it start for you in the process?
I'll tell you what, my uncle and father were such passionate Pittsburgh sports fans, and from the time I was five and six, all I wanted to do was root on local teams, and I caught the Pitt bug at 10 years old when I went to my first Pitt game at Pitt Stadium, and just fell in love with the sports, even though Pitt was not really a good team at that point in time. But Lord knows, a few years later, they gave me my greatest sports thrill when they won the 76 national championship. So it's just been a passion all my life.
And I've gotten a chance to know in my work at the university a number of the men that played in the 60s and played for John Michaelosen, the head coach at the University of Pittsburgh. And the 63 team is the stuff of legend. And that year, obviously, beyond what was happening on the football field, there was a lot of civil unrest in our country. And obviously, we know what would happen with President John F. Kennedy. Let's talk about, give background on that team, because it's one of the better teams in Pitt history that didn't have much to show for it.
It absolutely is. It was a very troubled time. 63 is really when civil rights violence started becoming more at the forefront of the news headlines daily. It's when We weren't really thoroughly involved at Vietnam, but we were setting that up. And the next year, that would become, unfortunately, a reality. So these men were facing a lot of upheaval outside, as everyone was growing up during the time. But 62 was not a good year for the team. Edward Litchfield was the chancellor at the university at the time. And Michael Olson had a reputation for being conservative football, you know, playing necessarily not to win was the moniker on him, but trying to play not to lose. Jim Traffican, who became a very controversial U.S. congressman after his time at Pitt, was the quarterback, who basically became a little insubordinate. Talked to Jim O'Brien, who ended up being a legendary sports writer, was the Pitt News sports editor at the time, about his issues with the Pitt staff, making the claim the worst decision he ever made was staying at Pitt, being insubordinate by ignoring some of Michael Olson's calls. And basically Litchfield kind of backed this up by almost threatening Michael Olson's job. If you don't open up the offense, he wouldn't have a job, basically. So it came into the year very controversial. And somehow this group of special men, and that's what they were, bonded together and just formed this stunning, surprising, fabulous season. And the exciting part that kind of drove me was not only the things that brought them fame, which was basically not being invited to a bowl game, but what they did off the field. I mean, you had 10 dentists out of a 50-man roster, a couple doctors. You had the COO of U.S. Steel came from this team. The captain is in the National College Football Hall of Fame, not because of necessarily what he did on the field, but his exceptional work as an industrial engineering major at the school. So it's just a fascinating story of how these guys bonded in a very tumultuous time that makes this story so great.
Well, if you look at if you chronicle the season, the Panthers went 9-1. Their lone loss was on October 26th at the wonderful Navy Marine Corps Memorial Stadium in Annapolis to the eventual Heisman Trophy winner. Roger Staubach was the quarterback of that team. That was their lone loss. Went 9-1, beat Notre Dame at Notre Dame Stadium handily 27-7, beat Miami on the road at the Orange Bowl, beat Penn State, beat West Virginia, played a bunch of West Coast teams early, both on the road and at home. And here they are going into their last game, and they're going to play Penn State. And they're probably, you would think, in a position at number 3 or number 4 in the country that if they win that game, they have a chance at a national championship. And that's when things got pretty crazy, those last couple weeks of the season. Unpack that for us, Dave.
Exactly. They had come off that loss to Navy. They actually outgained Navy in the game, but turned the ball over 6 times. Navy did not turn it over at all. So, you know, many of the Pitt players felt they could have won that game or should have won that game. But the next week they play Syracuse at home. They fall behind. They're a little down, fall behind 21-8, and then make a dramatic comeback to win 35-27. And all of a sudden they're on fire. They blow out Notre Dame 27-7. Army, who's having a great season at the time, I believe had only lost one game and had beaten Penn State, who I believe was nationally ranked at the time. They just crush Army 28-0, and everything's looking bright for this team. And you're right. They certainly were on the edge of possibly being a team who could play for the national championship. And then it happens. In a bad year, countrywide, the worst thing happens, and the president is shot. The nation is stunned. You know, there is just an excellent description of the feelings on campus at the time in the Pitt News that we chronicle in the book. And a lot of sports around the area, they don't know whether to play because, the next day Pitt scheduled to play play Penn State, and Penn State has a lot of injured guys not playing their best at the year, and Pitt probably would have rolled over Penn State at the time. And many teams decided to play that weekend, which put them in a better position as a bowl, whereas Pitt decided to hold off, honor the president, and push their game to Penn State. They had a game scheduled, their year-end game against Miami was November 30th, so the Penn State game had to be pushed back 2 weeks. And what happened, the Bulls, and it was a combination. It wasn't all the Bulls, but the Bulls weren't willing to necessarily wait to see if Pitt beat Penn State, which was a rivalry, and anything can happen in a rivalry. But also, their AD Frank Carver was intent on getting the Cotton Bowl bid. So there were a few bids that had come up that he basically kind of dragged his feet on. The Bulls didn't want to wait that he was dragging his feet on, so they chose not to go with him, including the Sun Bowl at the end, which wanted to that waited for Pitt, but Pitt again was dragging its feet a little bit, so they backed off immediately. But quite frankly, without playing a major bowl, the Orange Bowl was, they claimed they were concerned about Pitt not being able to draw some folks down there, which the businesses in Miami completely disagreed with. And again, it was more a thing that the Orange Bowl didn't want to wait. So the Cotton Bowl was basically all that was left for Pitt. And as it came down to it, their odds that kept reducing and reducing. First, it was if Navy won, they would get the Cotton Bowl bid. Then there was controversy over whether Navy would accept the bid. Then finally, they said the winner of the Army-Navy game would get the Cotton Bowl bid unless there was a tie. So basically, unless that game ended in a tie, Pitt was going to be left out. And in the end, that's what happened.
Unbelievable stuff. Talking to Dave Fanoli, author of Uninvited, the 1963 Pitt Panthers. You can find this book on Amazon. I know you're all familiar with Amazon. It's just an outstanding chronicle of a special season that ended without a special result. And ultimately, John Michael Olson would no longer serve as head coach 2 years later. 1965 was his last team. Pitt went from 9-1 to 3-5-2 in 64, 3-7 in 1965, his last season as head coach. But I want to give you a chance here as we wrap things up, Dave, and appreciate your time to cite some of the names from that team in 1963, some of the better players that, again, among the Hugh Greens and Dan Marinos and Aaron Donalds and Curtis Martins, these men maybe don't rise to the top, but if you did a composite of their playing accolades and professional accomplishments, these are among the finest football players to ever wear the Pitt uniform.
Absolutely. Paul Martha was a consensus All-American, and again, like the rest, whereas he had a nice career with the Steelers and the Broncos, his thing was basically running Edward DeBartolo's sports empire in Pittsburgh, head of the Civic Arena, head of the Maulers. I mean, Ernie Borghetti basically was another first-team All-American, great player at the school, but he became a very successful dentist. Rick Gleason, who was the powerful fullback. He was a preseason Playboy All-American. He basically decides to forego pro football because he knew he had a spot in the dental school, and if he signed the football contract, his comment was, there were probably 25 people waiting to get my spot. So he made that decision. You had John Maxuzak, who was the man who played one game in the pros, but went on to become the COO of National Steel. Another great guy, the quarterback who came in, Fred Masaryk, who replaced Jim Trafficant in 1963 and just became a wonderful, wonderful all-around quarterback. And quite frankly, as the season moved on, he was one of the better players. Or probably the best offensive player on the team. Without him, they don't go 9-1, certainly. You got Marty Schottenheimer, who back then they were still, that was probably the last year they were a true two-way team. But Marty Schottenheimer was one of the specialists on the team. He was a linebacker and became a great linebacker at Pitt, but more known as a legendary NFL coach. Fred Hoglin, who probably their most successful professional player. He was a Pro Bowl player in 1969, but went on to be one of the great assistant coaches in NFL history, 24 seasons. And was part of two Super Bowl winning teams. But there's a lot of guys here. Eric Crabtree, who Mart Levy, who was head coach of California before he became the legendary coach of the Buffalo Bills, said Eric Crabtree couldn't even get in the starting lineup, and he was the best running back on the team, ended up with a great NFL career. So there were just a lot of guys. And the thing that struck me was you look at them, one of the highest awards Pitt gives is Awardee of Distinction.
Yep.
And at least half of these players on this team eventually earn that for what they did off the field too. And, you're right. There weren't any guys that stick out as a Hugh Green, but they're all great. And they all brought the pride to the university. And their contributions, in my mind, were getting maybe forgotten by folks. And hopefully this kind of preserves their memories, which is deserved.
There's no question. And Dave, we really appreciate your time this morning, the effort that you put into all your work. This book, The Uninvited, 1963 Pitt Panthers, you can find on Amazon. I encourage you to read it about this team. We appreciate their accomplishments and not only what they did on the field, but beyond. And you do such a great job putting that into your piece. So thank you for your time this morning. Have a great weekend and appreciate all you do.
Well, I appreciate it, and I also appreciate you bringing up, I heard you brought up the 1910 Pitt team this morning, which we wrote a book on earlier, who I agree 100% deserves to be recognized as a national champion by the university.
Well, who knows? Team. Maybe we can make that happen, Dave. Appreciate your time, and enjoy the weekend.
Thank you. You too. Thank you so much.
There he goes, Dave Finoli, author of Uninvited, the 1963 Pitt Panthers. But it's the 2025 Pitt Panthers that we're going to turn our attention to. Got an exciting announcement. I have to recap a round of golf I played with some great friends yesterday and great Pitt supporters, the Valisek brothers from Ford City, that had an interesting twist to it. And when we summarize it, you may not believe it. More Panthers Insider after this break.
Black Friday? More like Black Friday, yay! Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
We got 1 week until Pitt football gets underway. Summer coming to a close. The Pitt football kickoff luncheon was yesterday. The Panthers held a rehearsal scrimmage at Acrisure Stadium in the morning. I was there. I was at the luncheon sitting with Chris Valsack, loyal listener, incredibly loyal Pitt man, and his brothers Gabe, the younger, more physically fit, potentially, buff brother. Pharmacist up in the Ford City area, and Aaron Valsack, the elder Valsack brother, dentist in the Shadyside area, I believe, and lives in Oakmont. Three awesome friends. Play golf in the afternoon. It was Gabe and Aaron versus me and Chris. And I was the low man, so with golf, I play a zero, and then they get strokes off of my ball. Chris got... he got double digits. He got double digit strokes, but it was pretty even. It was pretty even. I think he got 15 shots and Gabe and Aaron got 8 and 7 respectively, meaning it was 15 and 15. Just I got none. So Chris got all the candy, if you will. Needless to say, we won and we beat a pair of 81s. Chris shot an 89. I'm not going to tell you what I shot, but we came out victorious and I could not be prouder of that victory. It was a crowning achievement in my life. In fact, I think I might take it over 13-9. Just kidding on that one. But appreciate those guys. We had a lot of fun with that. And I'm excited for the season and what's to come. Some news from the South Side this week. Pitt named a kicker. Trey Bukowski, a true freshman kicker, will get the start for Pitt. James London no longer with the program. Sam Carpenter will back him up. We'll see who handles kickoff duties. Could it potentially be Caleb Junko or will it be Carpenter? Bukowski is solid, one of the top kicking prospects in the country a year ago. But Pitt hasn't gone with a true freshman kicker since way back with Alex Kessman. So obviously that's something we will watch as the season unfolds. Let's go start to finish the starting 22 for Pitt, as I see it. And I'm going to rip it off the top of my head. We know who the quarterback's going to be. It's going to be the second-year man from Alabama, Eli Holstein. Desmond Reed at running back. Right tackle, Ryan Bear. Right guard, B.J. Williams. Center, Lyndon Cooper. Captain, Lyndon Cooper. Left guard, Keith Govea. Transfer from Richmond. And another transfer at left tackle in big Jeff Percy. Jake Overman will be the tight end. The receiving core is deep. I expect these three men to get the start. Kenny Johnson, Poppy Williams, who I think will have an unbelievable year. He had a great, great camp. And I think Blue Hicks, Katarius Hicks, will be the third receiver in there to start things off for the Panthers. Deuce Spann will get a lot of reps. Tyreek Robinson will get a lot of reps. And they've got a host of depth behind that that is young, rather inexperienced, but this team has a lot more speed and depth at the receiver position, and I expect that to be a weapon. Defensively, inside I expect it to be Francis Brew and Sean Fitzsimmons. Outside, Jimmy Scott and Blaine Spires. Jaden Moore will be rotational. Zach Crothers has had a great camp. Joey Zielinski is a solid player, transfer from Eastern Michigan. But they need more production from those positions. I think Scott and Spires give them a nice duo in pass rush circumstances. Linebacker, Braylon Lovelace, Rasheem Biles, Kyle Lewis. Probably the best three linebackers, the best collection of linebackers in the ACC. Probably top two or three or four in the country. When you just add up stats, positional flexibility, all three of them can move and play anywhere. And we heard about the injuries this week from Pat Narduzzi. Jaden Bonsu is having a good camp. And Jeremiah Marcelin. Marcelin would have been that fourth linebacker in, so that one hurts. Marcelin will miss the season. and very disappointed for him. Obviously, he's a thumper in there. Lovelace is new to the mic position. That's a position where you're going to take on a more physical toll throughout the season. So having depth there, and they'll have to rely on Nick Lappe inside probably. But then you've got Cam Lindsay outside, Davin Bruton. They've got some young, exciting, talented players, but Bonsu and Marcelin would have factored nicely into the depth at that position. Nonetheless, it's still a very, very strong linebacking core led by two of the best players in the ACC in Biles and Lewis. I probably haven't grown in my anticipation or my confidence in one position group more than I have with the defensive backfield. I just think it's unprecedented for Pitt to have the size that they do at the corner position. And it's not replacing athleticism, quickness, hip mobility, all the things you need to be a great corner. I mean, Tamon Lineham and Rashad Battle are both 6'3". You think about some of the creatures you have to cover when you're playing the Florida States and the Notre Dames of the world, the Louisvilles of the world, and the one-on-one balls that are going to come your way because of how you play. You're pressed up. Your safeties are tied into the run game in the box. You're going to have to be to battle combat catch situations. And having height and length is huge in that. Not to mention the fact that if you're going to press and jam, having long arms and strength and size is critical. You think of some of the best corners in NFL history. Darrell Revis was big. So Richard Sherman and otherwise, these guys are long and lanky and rangy. Shedarian Harrison coming off the bench, potentially. That's 6'1". I mean, Sean Lee has had a great camp. He's a little smaller. That's a formidable group. Then at safety, you got Captain Javon McIntyre and Cruz Brookins, who I think has a chance. If you put DeMar Hamlin and Paris Ford together, I think you get Cruz Brookins. And that is high praise for a player that is going to be a starter for the first time. Well, we're number 12. If you could put a highlighter around someone to watch when you go to the stadium on Saturday, watch that guy. Because he's usually where the ball is, and he's typically going to move the other person backward. He is a force to be reckoned with, and I think going to be another Pitt Panther great. Caleb Junko backhanding punting duties. Trey Bukowski, place kicker. Punt return, kick return. So Pat Narduzzi shared this with the crowd yesterday, and I feel it worth repeating, that Pitt would have, as a composite ranking, had the best special teams in the ACC last year. Now, we think back. Ben Sauls is a huge part of that. By the way, he went 4-for-4 for the Steelers the other night, including a 50-plus yarder. So he got the laces in the home preseason game, missed it. I saw a lot of people giving him some stuff for that. But he bounced back, and if he's not a member of the Pittsburgh Steelers, which will be difficult, someone's going to pick him up, and he is going to kick in that league for a very long time. Mark my words on that one. But coverage units, return game, part of that is who's back there, right? Kenny Johnson, Katarius Hicks, Desmond Reed had a punt return for a touchdown. Deuce Spann has almost 400 yards in career yards in the return game, including a touchdown, I believe, at Florida State. It could just fly. I mean, think about the options you have back there. Think of the options you have back there in that part of the game. Plus, you've got starters playing on teams. And that is a difference maker. When you don't have, you know, the top-end talent, right, like position by position, you don't have the offensive line that Notre Dame's going to have. You don't have, you know, a collection of five stars at receiver like Miami's going to have, or a transfer quarterback that, you know, played in a national championship game, and so on. These are the margins that you can win in to close the gap. And I'm not saying Pitt doesn't have talent on offense and defense. They absolutely do. They absolutely do. But special teams are not something to sleep on. So it's all gonna, we're gonna get a chance to see it next Saturday at Acrisure Stadium, Pitt Duquesne. I'll give you a couple predictions for the game. Actually, I'll give you one. I mean, Pitt's gonna win the game. I think that's expected. Joel's golf is someone to watch. I don't think Desiree, you hope not to have to play him that much in that game. Obviously, you want to get him in a stadium and playing and get his feet wet. But Joel's golf's going to get to tote the rock. He's going to get to tote it, and he's had a great camp. You know, if there was a most improved player award for camp, which Pitt does for the spring, the Ed Conway Award, my money would be on Joel's golf to win it on offense. Without question. Sophomore from York, Pennsylvania. Same hometown as Kenny Johnson. Neighboring county to Lancaster County, where I'm from. Wednesday night, the Pat Narduzzi Show at Hotel Indigo on Technology Drive, just before you get to the Hot Metal Bridge, excuse me. I am going to be hosting the show this year. I am thrilled about it. I want to give huge flowers and kudos to Larry Richard. He's the busiest guy in Pittsburgh. I've learned so much from him. He's a huge member of our broadcast team. We'll continue being on our broadcast team, but he's got event after event after event to do throughout the spring. So I am happy to take the baton from him and look forward to hosting the Pat Narduzzi Show every Wednesday, with the exception of open weeks. We'll have different promotions. We'll have different guests every week, player guests as we get into the season. Cade Bell, Randy Bates are going to join us this week on Wednesday night. The show starts at 6 o'clock. It's a great bar or restaurant there. Sometimes we'll have drink specials and so on and so forth. Pitt regalia everywhere. I implore you to join us. The Panther Pit, I think, is going to be there this week. I implore you to come down and join us for the show live every Wednesday from 6 to 7 on The Fan. Most times it'll be on KDKA occasionally due to Pirates broadcasts. But I'm looking forward to hosting the show this year and bringing a little bit different twist to it. Coach Narduzzi's great with his time. We'll look forward to getting to know some of the players and getting to the season where we start to keep track. You start to keep score and things start to get real. Thanks to Joel Nelson behind the glass, man of the ones and twos. Appreciate Dave Finoli joining the show. It's football season. Week zero today. Big games on. And then it gets real for the Pitt Panthers in 1 week. We'll talk to you. Have an unbelievable weekend. A great week. We'll see you next Saturday at the Ball Yard. Hail to Pitt.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.